A62. Number 22B.
We come to the third edition with the overall tone of soul. You know that soul handles sin. That soul handles all the maliciousness of animal magnetism, the malicious side. And in that third edition that came out, 1881, you see, only 6 years after the first edition, she gave to the chapter Animal Magnetism a new term, namely demonology. So one already can hear from the title that this has now to do with the counterfeit of soul, with the devil, with sin, and she depicts really here the Judas character of the student. It's all about the maliciousness, the animal nature that is can be rampant in the mental practice. And this edition is a very long edition of over 40 pages, as usually she would write about 15 or 16 pages on the subject. And here she brings in all her personal experiences she had with malicious animal magnetism. It is that period where, where her husband was accused of having murdered people, fantastic allusions, and then also the period when Dr. Eddy died, as what she felt as an attack of malicious animal magnetism. So here she speaks about all those experiences in detail, and that was so interesting. It read like a detective story. And it had at least one effect, namely that she could sell science and health like hot cakes at that moment. Everybody was interested in those 40 pages and what has happened and how this is possible. This was really attractive for the reader. And there, everybody could now get the creeps. Yeah. In that edition, she makes now the final step from mind to soul, namely to capitalize mind. See, soul identifies now here what kind of mind did she mean with which we can heal. It is now defined through the capitalization, and so in this chapter now, mind is always capitalized, and she said, this is alone equal to meet mortal mind. And therefore, in the metaphysics of mind, capitalized, she says, humanity finds safety. It is therefore that point where we should see today that mankind will only find safety, not in the mental, not just in what they try to achieve, namely consciousness expansion, because it's nothing else but letting mortal mind free and just to get wild with freedom. Wild with freedom is the counterfeit of soul, because true freedom is only seen when it is built on the divine mind. And so in that third edition you really get that indication that the safety of the world against all these hidden mental powers that go on is in the divine mind. Well, when one listens into the general discussion of the public about politics, about the country, how the country is run and so on and so on and so on, And always comes across that more and more people have a feeling that the country is not run by a president, but that the president or the Congress is run by secret powers. The powers of finance, political powers, powers of interest, the powers of this and that race, the powers of the Jews, the powers of the Catholics, the powers of this and that and the other. And it gets a feeling all over the world that actually there are these secret agencies, very well organized, very well directed to certain purposes, that run the world. How much is true, how much is not true, is not so much the case, except that it happens. That it happens, if it happens to 20% or 90%, that I do not know. That we do not know, because we are not in the game there. But we have a sneaky feeling that we are going through that period in the world where the secret powers, not the open powers, are at work, and where we can, and there where we find only our own safety in our, in the one mind, by taking rescue to the one mind, just as Mrs. Eddy called it. It's interesting, you know, that in that edition, she uses a term that she only dropped rather late, and which we could never really understand. She calls there Christian Science, not Christian Science, but she calls it the occult science of mind, capital M. The occult science of mind. And we know today that Christian Science is the very opposite of occultism and necromancy and esoterics and so on. Certainly the opposite of occultism. And at that time, she defined her science as the occult science of mind. And I can see why she did it. Because it was that time of what's going on behind the scene, the evil powers behind the scene, really the hidden, the secret, that's occult, the hidden, the secret powers going on. And therefore she tried to counteract that with that science of mind, which also operates unseen. Therefore, to a certain sense, to the public, really, occult, in the secret. It's only later on that she drops it. I will tell you when she then dropped it. So here we have the that whole period of the third. Can you see soul in it? Soul that is our safety against all that is malicious, that is magic, that is occult, that is going on in the secret conspiracies that went on, the secret machinations of of mortal mind, all that which tries to bring forth intentionally evil, intentional animal magnetism, this is handled here in the third edition. Isn't that which we need to today?
Yes.
Well, I already said it. Huh? Isn't it so that some students may still have a sense, I wonder what's going on behind my back, what's going on in the secret, what is lurking around the next corner, and have some kind of an uncertain feeling of what the future will bring, of what is going on and suddenly will spring into action. And our only safety is really then in soul, that we put our mind into the divine mind, therefore identify our mind with the one divine mind. That's mind or soul. Yes. Okay? Is that clear too, that tonality of soul? We come to principle. Just about 2 years later, after this very exciting stories of the third main edition, she brought out the fourth edition. And the only thing she changed was that she left out all those stories. She brought back the edition from over 40 pages back to about, I don't know now by heart what how much it is, but around about 16 pages, leaving out everything that was so exciting and so fear-producing. She could see that she had done something she shouldn't have done. That people got afraid of animal magnetism. The very thing she didn't want to do, namely she wanted to inform the public so that they knew, so that they would not be afraid, she could see that the readers got afraid of animal magnetism. And so she had to step back and presented the whole subject now without that those experiences. And therefore, what is our interpretation of it? Why should this, as a main edition, now bring out principle? Because now we see it's free from person. It's free of making animal magnetism personal. Because in that third edition she named the people by name. Actually she only put the first initial and then two various dots, you see. But you could easily see that if she was talking about Aarons, that it was a capital A and the rest was dots. But everybody who lived at that time knew exactly who she meant. So she made the whole thing personal there. And in the fourth edition, she took all that personal sense out of it and began to see something which is so important for us too in our development, to see that animal magnetism is impersonal. It's an impersonal claim. It has nothing to do with Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. This is a period I think most Christian scientists have not yet arrived. They still talk to me and say, well, I am malpracticed by so-and-so and so-and-so, and by that woman so-and-so, by that woman who lives around the corner so-and-so. I'm malpracticed by my practitioner and things like that, and by church people. And one wonders where they are. Way back in 1881, they haven't seen yet that animal magnetism is impersonal. That it has nothing to do neither with a malpractitioner nor with a malpracticianed, but that it is a claim, a general claim. So this was the further step she had to do very quickly after the third main edition, to save really the whole field from getting so personal about everybody. Yes, then we come to the fifth main edition. In 1886, I just give those dates because they somehow pinpoint a bit where Mrs. Eddy stood at that time. You know, it was just at that point where she began to teach regularly in the metaphysical college and had regular classes. It was that period, the beginning of that period, which brought a lot of growth really in the Christian Science movement, and then ended by the disorganization of most organizations she had brought into life. The church was disorganized, the metaphysical college was disorganized and shut down, and so on and so on. So we have a very important period here in front of us, with a textbook that dealt with animal magnetism in a completely new way. When one reads that edition, one doesn't find much left from the older edition. A lot of new material has been brought in. It is that period when she, for the first time, introduced into the textbook, really the chapter on, not the whole chapter, but the beginning of the chapter of Apocalypse, with that whole story of the dragon and the woman. At that time she only interpreted that part of Apocalypse. And that symbol must have been predominant in her mind during that period. And therefore she changed the chapter on animal magnetism to put it under that tone of the dragon persecuting the woman. Therefore, of animal magnetism persecuting the idea. After she had made it impersonal through the fourth main edition, in the fifth main edition, she could now show, look here, the whole claim of animal magnetism is that it tries to destroy or persecute the idea. Not you. You are not the target. You are not so important in this world. The important thing is the idea. So, she put in those three epigraphs at the beginning of the chapter, which had all to do with that warfare between the dragon and the idea, and was showing really this persecution. It is that period where she opened up the department on animal magnetism in the journal, where she asked that the journal in each issue would have articles on animal magnetism, invited the people to write about their experience they had with animal magnetism. She herself wrote various articles in it, among others that article Ways That Are Vain, and the other article Malicious Animal Magnetism. She herself, just to take this, to anticipate really what happened, all these articles which she wrote at that period on animal magnetism, she did not reprint when she edited Miscellaneous Writings or Miscellany. She did not take them in. Miscellaneous Writings was published, when was it, 1895, 6, round about that time. Therefore, it should have contained the chapter, that article of Malicious Animal Magnetism. It could have contained Ways That Are Vain, but it was not in it. And later on, when she prepared everything for Miscellany and sealed up her manuscript and said this can be published later on, Miscellany was published after Mrs. Eddy's passing, the board of directors put in that article, Ways That Are Vain. That was not Mrs. Eddy's intention. So Ways That Are Vain appeared again in the authorized literature in Miscellany. She didn't want to have it in. And now, when we have an overall view of the subject of animal magnetism and can see how this subject evolved, we naturally can see why she didn't want to have it in. She would have had two occasions to reprint them and give it to the public, take it out of the journal, who nobody owns anymore, except Ralph may sell them for a big, nice price. Huh? They cost now a fortune, those journals. It's no more, so to say, accessible for the public. Whereas prose work is really sold all over the place through the reading rooms and is accessible to the public. She did not want the students, the public, to orient their understanding according to those articles in that period, because it was not the right altitude from which to handle animal magnetism. And she could see that after that time. So let's be clear that though we know as a student about these articles, that we are not going constantly back to those articles in order to instruct us about animal magnetism, as has been done in the movement. And John Dolley was not exempted from that. I remember in his earlier years in teaching, in the 20s, even the beginning of the 30s, when he didn't know about that whole story, when he didn't know that that was put in against Mrs. Eddyville, he asked, I remember that so well, he asked the student in the class that they should study that article, Wasted Are Vain, every year at least once. Because John Dolley himself was very hot on handling evil. But now, where we can see the development, how certain stages have their proper right, adapted to the age in which they are written, but then lose their proper right as the idea unfolds, we should not go back to the flesh pots of Egypt when we can go into the Holy Land and eat honey and bread and milk, huh? Milk and honey. I feel that this is one point why the movement did not grow. I feel that the movement has stayed, has halted, what is the right expression, has stagnated at that point, because those articles or that conception of animal magnetism is still the more or less the highest or the conception they have, the working conception they have of animal magnetism. And naturally it is a fighting conception. It's a conception that is built on antagonism. It's the dragon against the woman. And it shows actually animal magnetism in a way that the last edition doesn't show. So why go to a teaching that is outdated, that is outgrown, and has outgrown a period, and revive those dead bodies, and try to put some life into a dead body, when we should bury them and leave it alone, and go on in the development? And you know that at that time, then Mrs. Eddy began to see that this is not quite the way she should handle it. And at the end of that period in 1890, she published that little card where she asked that the student should no more write in with articles on animal magnetism, and that the journal would close down that department on animal magnetism, because what did she say there? I never know things by heart. Somehow I can find them. Yes. That card. She says, also, the discussion of malicious animal magnetism had better be dropped until scientists understand clearly how to handle this error. until they are not in danger, this is the point, in danger of dwarfing their growth in love by falling into this lamentable practice in their attempts to meet it. See, when one is afraid of something, one usually uses the same method. That's the way how mortal mind operates. And they were so afraid of animal magnetism that they began to lose sight, really, of handling a situation with love, small l, which is really that fifth period, and were falling into the lamentable practice in their attempt to meet them. Only patient, unceasing love to all mankind. Can you see the very difference between the dragon persecuting the woman? Now it's suddenly love for all mankind. Love that cannot mistake love's aid, here love is capitalized, can determine this question on the principle of Christian Science. So that was the end of that period. And one can see it was a question to handle the struggle between the dragon and the woman by laying down the mortal sense of evil. Practice in love. By really giving up the sense, the mortal sense that there is evil, and substituting, replacing it with a sense that in love's plan, only love's idea is going on. So at that point, she dropped that whole question of animal magnetism and then brought out the new edition. You know that at that period, it was a terrific period where she closed all the organization and went away into solitude. And one hardly hears anything of that period from her between 1889 until about 1891 or 2, except that she was re-editing the whole textbook. And in that period she was writing that terrific chapter in the textbook, the last chapter she wrote, namely Science, Theology, and Medicine. And then when the time was ripe in 1891 with the 50th edition, she brought out the textbook with all the chapters that we have today.